You're listening to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. It's been a week of rock and roll. Slaughter, right?
Yes, Slaughter.
Slaughter. Lily went to see some Slaughter.
And I did nerd stuff, too. I did Comic-Con.
Awesome. Nerdicon. Yes. So we've got, you know, the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. LudiniRockandRollCircus.com is the website. And sitting next to me in the co-pilot's chair tonight is the lovely and talented Miss Lily V6 from Rock Rage Radio.
Hey, rock loves.
She's loving the rock and rocking the love.
Mm-hmm. Always.
And this handsome gentleman back here, no, it is not Max Headroom. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from New Orleans, Mr. Keith the Hawk Hawkins. What's up, Keith?
What is happening out in television land? What's going on?
Okay, so you guys, we're going to rock out some Chris Cornell tonight. We're going to be talking about
the Ernie.
Yep. And Chris has had several projects over his lifetime. And so we're going to talk about some of what your favorites are, what our favorites are, best moments, best performances, favorite, whatever. Just kind of talk about. We're going to do a little bit of bio on Chris Cornell. Keith has a whole thing worked up. He's going to do a little Chris Cornell dance number, aren't you, Keith?
Are you doing an impersonation? I had no idea.
I don't have the pipe for it, man.
Oh, all right.
Okay. All right, guys. We're gonna bust out some rock and roll here in a second. But first of all, you want to go to LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Check out the cool merchandise we got there. Hit the little store up in the right-hand corner there.
There are things.
There's all kind of cool things there. Great T-shirts, totes, sweatshirts, mugs, all kind of cool stuff. So check that out there. You can find that all at LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. This is a band that I discovered a couple of new bands this week. I'm really excited. So this is the first one. This is a band called Ragdoll. They're from Australia. And Leon Todd is the guitarist in this band. And I started following his YouTube channel. I'm like, hey, dude, do you have a band? And he's like, yeah, it's called Ragdoll. Check them out. And they're very good, so check them out. Let Ragdoll on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circuit. We'll be right back.
man. You're the man.
Boy, I tell you what.
I'm just glad it's finally over.
No, not really. I love that band. It's a band called Ragdoll. And I was telling everybody that how I found out about them was being a guitar nerd. Their guitar, and I'm always looking at different like guitar channels on YouTube. And their guitar player, Leon Todd, has he's a Marshall fanatic. And he's got all these videos where he compares all the different Marshall amps. And so if you're a guitar nerd like me, find him. He's really cool. But, you know, he's like, you know, it just kind of came up in one of his videos, you know, oh, yeah, I have a band. And they're called Ragdoll. So I found them and really enjoying them. So I'm going to try to get to maybe do an interview with them at some point.
Nice.
Australian hard rock, kind of grunge meets. They've got some of the tracks have more of an 80s rock kind of vibe,
oh,
too.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah,
they've got like the long hair and the fast guitar playing and the whole
thing. Yeah,
whole
party time.
Yeah, so they kind of mix the two together in a really cool way. They're also big King's X fans. I don't know if you guys picked up a little bit of King's X vibe in what they're doing there. But so that's a band called Ragdoll. And let me go ahead and get you guys hooked up with the website. It is we got a couple Bandcamp bands tonight, so this was one of them. Ragdollrock.bandcamp.com, and Bandcamp's a cool site for bands because they can put their all their swag right there, so you can get a little sample of it. You can decide, you know, what you like. You can pay for, you know, and some of the bands have like pay what you want. Kind of situations going on.
I like
so,
that
you know,
website.
You can make donations. They got all their merchandise and everything there. So you can find more about Ragdoll at ragdollrock.bandcamp.com. And Lily, you were out doing something. What were you doing this weekend? You were doing something kind of crazy, weren't you?
I went to Three Rivers Comic Con this weekend, sponsored by Dimension Comics. At the Century 3 Mall, as dead as it is, they were packed for... their little
that's where that was. That was the Century 3 Mall.
Yes, it
oh
was.
God.
I was at the actual event on Saturday and then the after party, which was fantastic.
And you didn't get raped or anything, right?
No. I mean, I was groped quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you saw my outfit,
Max headroom back there.
Kind of is a thing. I was Elvira, so it was a boob thing. But on Thursday before... go on.
It was the Century 3 Mall?
Yes.
That place is usually a freaking ghost town. It's amazing that something actually happened.
There's some stores still there. Actually.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
Well,
I thought that was like
they're leveling it. So.
The last.
Really?
Last yeah, effort of it.
What are they going to put there?
I have no idea, but I know they're tearing the whole mall down.
Turn or done.
Yeah.
that's part of my childhood. I spent a lot of time there. That was like the...
That's a great mall.
Well, that was the big mall. Like, when you were like, really, were like, okay, you know, South Hills Village, you know what I mean? It's kind of Monroeville Mall, whatever. Century, if you've been to Century 3 yet. Oh, dude, that
it's
is
like four
awesome.
Four floors, and it's
oh,
so
yeah,
super cool.
The food court's amazing. And they have hills.
It was interesting. Yeah. Well, the Thursday before that, we did cosplay karaoke, which I don't sing, but I went to go support some of my friends for it, and it was pretty fun. It's interesting.
All right.
And are you gonna
say that in English again? We couldn't hear you. You cut out.
LARP.
Huh?
Anybody? Lily, are you gonna get into LARPing soon, you think? Live action role play. Are you gonna get into that?
No, I don't think I'm gonna do that. I'm not into it. I go to dress sexy and have guys look at my breasts. So there you go. Sorry. That's how it is.
She's breast
okay,
sexy.
Kind of a couple LARPers from back in the day, in case you're interested.
I'm good. Yeah. Thanks, though. I've never played D&D either, so.
Here's what we're going to need to do, guys. We need you guys to send donations to Keith the Hawk Hawkins so he can buy a really nice USB mic so we can actually hear him so it sounds a lot better.
I like his alien talk. So, I can't hear him.
Yep. So, Keith, so what's going on? Keith has had a steady flow of house guests, right?
Yes.
For like a couple of months now since you moved down there. So, but it's kind of quieting down now, right?
Yeah, it's over and done with.
He quits.
Just for a while. Maybe till Christmas. I don't know. October, maybe. I think I'm getting a guest in October again.
Are you? Big Halloween party down in New Orleans. Maybe we should do that
instead
of Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
We should go down over Halloween.
Don't even get me excited about that.
That
might be.
Got Billy Mack watching.
Yeah, it's winding down. It's the first it's the first day that somebody wasn't here in a month, so it's,
all right.
It's back to quiet time here.
It's mellow now.
Got the whole house back to yourself, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but I saw Diesel was all, like, forlorn. He likes all the attention.
He does.
He's such a cutie pie.
He does.
All right.
He's depressed now.
So tonight we are talking about the amazing Chris Cornell, one of the really amazing vocalists that came out of the grunge movement and carried on through the 2000s, was putting out great solo stuff, had a great band, one of my favorite bands of all time, actually, Audioslave. So, Keith, why don't you kind of give us a little bit, let's talk a little bit about it. I know Keith has said he's been on a Chris Cornell kick for a little bit. So why don't we start with the Hawkster and tell us what's going on, buddy. Talk to us about the Chris Cornell dude.
I think that there's a few vocalists to come along that actually have such an impact on my life as a Robert Plant, a Freddie Mercury, Sting, and I'm going to put Chris Cornell as a more modern day version of a Robert Plant, where just the band was behind him was phenomenal. Soundgarden I'm talking about, and he basically, when that man just sings, when he opens his mouth, man, there's just he got a great set of pipes, great lyrics, and unfortunately I don't know what was going on up in his head there sometimes, but ended his life, but at the same time the music he left behind was legendary. So that guy, he just was a modern day vocal god to me. I mean,
very, very distinctive voice in the same way as the other two guys you talked about, Sting and
Robert Plant.
I mean, he had that very kind of like the first note, you knew who it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you can name that in one note.
So what about you, Lily? What are your sort of, let's give us a sort of overview. What do you have to
as say about it? We all know, I'm not really hugely into the whole grunge scene. However, Chris Cornell is one of my stop. My stuff is not 90s grunge, but I am giving Chris Cornell an exception because he did have a fantastic voice. I absolutely loved the band Soundgarden when I was younger. I'm not as into Audioslave, but I do like them. And I feel like also like that whole grunge thing, he made it his own. He wasn't like a typical, this is a grunge band.
Squeal!
All right, and there it is. And boom goes the dynamite.
I feel the same way too. I mean, I always heard that, that I felt that Soundgarden, some of those bands had their feet more planted in hard rock, 70s rock, metal, and I think Soundgarden's definitely, especially on Loud as Love and Bad Motorfinger. You know, I think when they got to what's it called, Keith? Was it Up on the Downside?
Down on the upside.
Close. You were close.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Close.
I think when we got to that, I think that they had really made their sound more radio friendly with slightly shorter songs, some more like acoustic stuff. I think that Super Unknown is actually the record I'm actually thinking of. Is like their sort of like album where they really had like all the like big hits, you know. Whereas I really prefer. I think that Bad Motorfinger is the record where that's the record I always go back to for Soundgarden, because the songs aren't quite as poppy. It's still super aggressive, but they had really at that point defined what their sound was going to be. Loud as Love is a kind of like, we don't know who we are yet. You know, they still had a little bit of 80s rock kind of mixed in a little wee bit and a couple of different things going on. But when they did Bad Motorfinger, songs like Outshined and Rusty Cage.
I love Outshined.
Outshined. I thought that they really were like, I think it was really explosive. And I think it's still really, really raw, you know, and some of the songs like Room 1,000 Years Wide, and some of the songs are like longer tunes that are kind of droney and stuff that are killer tracks, aren't quite as radio friendly, but I think they're really great. And I've just, that's sort of my period of Chris Cornell, Soundgarden, that I just really, really love. That's when I saw the video to Outshined, I was like, jaw on floor, like, who the f- is this? completely blown away by that. So, what do you got? What do you want to say about it, Keith?
Soundgarden, to me, is a modern day Led Zeppelin. They were that influential to me. They could do heavy, as heavy as you wanted to go. They were lumped in with the grunge thing. They could do acoustic with someone that talented at the helm, songwriting and vocal. You can do pretty much whatever you want. Like I said, at times a band could get super heavy, but at the same time they could write, you know, more laid back stuff. Later on, I think they started getting a little bit more mellow, radio friendly. But with Chris doing his thing, then you can pretty much write your own ticket. So I think they could have pretty much did whatever they wanted. But they were a very influential band, I think, and one of the better, if not the best, to me, modern rock bands of the last, you know, since the grunge era started. I mean, everybody gets all wrapped up in the whole, like, Nirvana, Pearl Jam thing, but I just, you know, this band to me was head and shoulders above those bands.
I have to agree with that. That's what I was saying. They have their own sound in that time period. It's not just the typical, this is a grunge band of the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of sort of, like, you know, along with, you know, the big ones, the Nirvanas, the Pearl Jam, Soundgardens, Alice in Chains, and Stone Temple Pilots. There was a lot of sort of, like, nameless, faceless bands that, you know, they kind of popped up, you know, for, like, a couple of songs, and then, you know, disappeared. But Soundgarden was really unique in the sense that I think that they really did kind of... one of the things they did, and Keith, maybe you could talk a little bit about this, is they did play around with, like mixed meter and, you know, complicated time signatures, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Even a song
like Outshine is in 7, so, you know, you're not looking at that straight kind of beat. You're looking at there's 7 quarter notes to the beat instead of, you know, the 4/4 that you would be used to hearing in most regular pop-friendly tunes. But they were so good at, like, I don't want to use the word masking, but, like, they were so good at making that stuff groove that it sounded, you know.
You didn't know. That, like Led Zeppelin.
You wouldn't even, yeah. You
yeah, Led Zeppelin could do the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, if you were a total, like, you know, get into that kind of stuff, you know, like, musician nerd kind of thing where you're just kind of like, oh, that's in 15/8 or something like that. You know, sound like the ocean or something like that. Does the ocean sound like it's in an odd meter, but it's in a weird time signature?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of them songs where if you just do it well, it can be done, you know. But then you listen to a song like Rusty Cage, going back to that, the meter changes in that song. Ah, shit, man, like probably four or five times in that song. It's pretty all over the place. But they, like, you can hear where the band experiments with different, you know, definitely different guitar tunings. Kim Thayil was very big into odd tunings.
A lot like Jimmy Page. Yeah,
and I think Kim Thayil was responsible for a lot of the odd meter stuff too himself. He did a lot of the writing. But once you get into, you know, a little bit later on, I'm not saying they got away from it, but definitely in the earlier records, there was a lot of experimenting with the odd time signatures and things like that.
Well,
so.
I think that even on Super Unknown, you know, a lot of the tracks that made the radio have that kind of, like, you know, they have mixed meter parts, you know, mixed in, you know what I mean? They'll go to a measure of 5 or 3 or whatever, and then back to the, you know.
Yeah, you can get songs like My Wave.
Yeah.
And you got songs like Spoon Man. The main part can be felt in 7, then you have a part, I think there's like the drum break is in 3/4. I mean, it's, and you let a band straighten that stuff out into the chorus to where it goes into a straight 4/4 groove. But like I said, they were so good at it, that interweaving those time signatures together that you know, you can just tell they had that knack for it, you know.
Yeah, then get the knack.
Yeah.
Lily, chime in with something.
Keith
and I are taking over the whole thing.
Oh, well, you know.
We need some
I have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm not a musician. I also like that he, and I'm not a fan of people doing covers, but I think he did a lot of covers that sounded fantastic. Like Billie Jean. He did U2's One before. Better Man by Pearl Jam, Wild World by Cat Stevens, and then the Nothing Compares to You, which I do play on my show quite often. His voice is like so haunting in that. I love playing that song. I just wish it wasn't so slow, because all my other songs that I play on my show are really fast. So I try to like slide like that in there. Yes. I think he does other people's songs really good.
Does them better than the original.
Yes, and I hate saying that. I really hate saying that.
Yeah, this great version of Billie Jean.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, everybody knows the Nothing Compares to You Too. No, You.
Nothing Compares to
You Too.
Just to you.
No, nothing compares to you two.
Fight
me. So we're going to come back and rock out. I want to talk, when we come back, I want to explore the other band that Chris Cornell was in that I just think one of the most hard rocking bands ever. It could be one of the most hard rocking bands ever. They did ballads as well, too. We're going to come back and talk a little about some Audio Slave. Then we're going to talk about some of your picks and what you guys thought out there. So let's rock out to another band. We have this is another band. I just discovered these guys this week. I love when I discover bands. This is a band called Aboleth. I know, weird name, right? But their record is not out yet, but there is a single out that they have called Woven Loaf, and this is Aboleth. Now check this, Keith. I want you to check this out, man. This band has a unique, really unique sound, and it's very interesting chord changes and very interesting melody. Okay, this is not like the screaming type stuff I know that you love, you know, this is very interesting. So check out the vocal work on this and the chord changes. Woven Loaf, Aboleth on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
My outfit's very popular tonight, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Oh
my. Aboleth. If you have a lisp, I can't say that name. You want to go to abolethband.com and check out everything they got going on there and buy all their swag because they're swag worthy. And we've got Keith the Hawk Hawkins back there. Keith is in it. We need to send a some special like prayers out for Keith. He's in a bit of a funk tonight.
Oh,
he's funking out, so he's just
he needs a hug.
He needs. What are you talking about?
You're in a funk.
Well, tell me that one time. He is pretty cool.
Right? You're not your usual self.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Usually, there's kids knocking on your door asking for ice
cream.
Yeah,
asking the ice cream kids.
So, but nothing's happening. You seem out of it.
Hello, Lou. If you would pay attention for a second, I was going to learn you something real quick.
You got to learn me. Learn me, boy. Learn me how to do something.
He is going. He came over today, and instead he's upping the ante because not only today he did not ask for ice cream, he did not ask to play with the dog. He asked for $2 to jump and fall in line, and that's it.
He did not.
He cannot ask. Just come up. Just give me the money. Just forget the ice cream.
It's not my fault what goes wherever next door. That's none of my business.
I hope he does that when I'm there because I really want to see you flip out.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't think.
You, a friggin', you know, you want a drumstick or a, you know, some kind of, you know, ice cream bar or, you know, a goddamn whatever they put on ice cream sticks nowadays. What is it, a push-up? Do they still make push-ups? Remember those things?
I think so. I have no idea.
So anyway.
This guy. All I got to say, this guy.
And maybe once in a while it's good to go. I'm not going to give you $2 because that's just, then it goes to $5. You know what I mean? And that's how we work it. And then it's just, it goes up and up. Next thing you know, I got to sell a kidney to put $2 on half.
Keith. Here's what I think. I think that what happens is he talks all big and bad here, but when the kid comes to the door, he's like, oh, okay. Because I think you're a sucker for little kids. I've seen you around little kids, and I think you love little kids.
Want to go get the wife?
I think you love little kids.
I do like little kids. Don't want a little mooching ass kid.
You just had to get him riled up. That's all.
Oh, we had to get Keith riled up. Keith's like it. Keith, come on, dude. What's the matter with you?
Do you want to make fun of me for seeing Slaughter last night some more?
How was the Slaughter show?
Okay, let me talk about the Slaughter show.
Okay, Lily is going to give us her review of the Slaughter show.
Okay.
Were you up all night?
I was not up all night. Probably till like 2.
Did you sleep all day?
No, I worked all day. Anyhow, okay, so.
Did you fly to the Angels?
No.
Okay.
It was a wild, wild night, though. I enjoyed Fatality Risen and Dying Breed, who were the opening bands local to Pittsburgh. I enjoyed looking at Mark Slaughter.
Is he still like?
He's still pretty attractive. However, all he could do was scream his songs. I was a little disappointed in that, and I already know what you're going to tell me, Keith. I don't want to hear it. But
no, I watched the video you put out.
It was bad.
It was an open mind. I try to come in with an open mind, and my mind was blown.
He was like literally screaming all the songs, and I was kind of disappointed. I mean, he did do all the hits, and that was great and everything. You know who I did enjoy? His drummer was fantastic. He was jumping up on the drum set, pounding things around. He was like Animal from Dr. Teeth in the Electric Mayhem on the Muppets.
Nice.
Now, I'm going to tell you what. I have to look up who this guy is because I want to message him and tell him how awesome he is. His drummer was the most entertaining portion of the entire night.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I always thought that Mark had a great voice. So it's kind of unfortunate that he's having some issues.
It's strained. It's got to be because he's just like screaming the songs. I'm like, you don't even need to scream this song. This is not a screamy song at this time. His ballads are not to be screamed like.
Yeah, that's what happens to some of his guys. They get who unfortunately who has a kind of thing going on too is David Coverdale, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know.
It's really unfortunate.
And I do love Whitesnake.
I love Whitesnake, and I thought like some of the most killer riffs, and I liked his voice. He had a more soulful kind of rock voice, kind of like Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
And if you look at any of his stuff now, it's just. I'm reading this book called Zen Guitar. And, you know, I just was listening to a chapter and the guy was talking about how, you know, we prejudice ourselves against or for certain artists based on like their lifestyle, their look, you know, their age, etc. And we don't very often, if somebody doesn't fit in with that we, sometimes we won't give their music a chance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to be like, you know, hey, these guys are like, they're like older guys now. As if they can still do it, they should be doing it. But if you can't do it, you know, I mean, you got to get that fixed. Like, he needs to get that fixed because it's like, it's just, I mean, I'll tell you who sounded okay, although he's not one of my favorite singers, was Don Dokken. He sang his songs.
They sounded like him.
Yeah, they sounded like
he
him.
He just seemed like he was bored.
But I'm saying, vocally, yeah. Yes. He played the songs and sang them, and it sounded like Dokken. He did not, because I was all prepared for like, oh, this is going to be one of those guys like really worn out and stuff. And he didn't sound that way. He sounded fine, you know? I mean, whether you like Dokken or not, that's a whole other story, you know? What about you, Keith? Is there any like older artists that have come around that you feel like still sound really great, or maybe some that you're kind of concerned about?
Yes, I've seen Steely Dan twice in the last year, and they're freaking phenomenal.
Really?
I don't know whether Lily would like the show. There's nobody getting up on a drum set and twisting their ankle. This guy actually sits at the drum set and plays with a high level of proficiency. But at the same time,
I needed entertainment.
Like I've seen Steely Dan twice in the last year. They're no spring chickens. Walter Becker's freaking dead, for God's sake, but they're still rolling. And Donald Fagen sounds good enough to me.
He sounds good. He was never really like major. The more interesting vocals in that band were usually, in my opinion, sung by Michael McDonald. You know,
well, yeah.
I mean, he sang the higher stuff, the more soulful type stuff. Donald Fagen kind of had more of a quirky, right?
Yeah.
Would you call him a kind of quirky kind of singer? You know what I mean? But what about you, Lily? I mean, you go to a lot of shows. Who do you feel is like still like really putting it out there really, really, really well in this? None of them. Oh, no.
They never sound like I want them to when I go to see the show.
We're going to go see Slayer. I hope that's not a cluster. You know what?
I think it'll be good. I'm really having some faith in this Slayer show. So
some possible topics for upcoming podcasts. Most overrated and most underrated bands.
I'm excited for that.
And what about this one? Here's one we should do, because Keith and I were kind of messing around with this week. Is Lars Ulrich a good drummer?
Oh. I'm not going to be very good at that one.
I think we can do a whole podcast on that.
Then people start talking out their butt and everything else.
Talking out their butts, really?
Hey,
you got a lot of amens on that one, dude, when I posted on my private group. And even Lars Cothern was like, you know, he understood where you're coming from.
Well, no, it's not even that. Then he starts posting pictures of Avery Mullick, and it's like, the kid's a teenager, and he thinks that, like, he's just going to get every Metallica song because he's on the internet with a billion hits in one friggin' take. Lars, you don't realize that it probably takes the kid all hours to get that take. The kid sat in with me at a lesson at School Rock just for a trial, and it wasn't like he was burning it up. He's good and well advanced for his age. He seemed really cool, but these people see these internet kids and they get a hard on like it's some. They're just doing that shit in one take. That's not how it works.
They really work on it to get it.
Yeah, of course.
You know what your new radio name is, right, Keith?
What's that?
You're Knucklehead Keith.
I don't know what the hell that means.
I remember seeing that. He didn't see it, did he?
You didn't see it. You didn't watch Lars' video.
He played
a song and dedicated it to us, and he said Lou and Lily and that Knucklehead Keith. So you're Knucklehead Keith now.
Who's this? This guy from Chicago?
Lars. Yeah.
Lars. He has nothing to say.
What do you want me to say, man? Seriously. I mean, it's what...
Hey, so let's talk about. So, what do you think
about?
Some guys
I hate for no reason, you know.
So, what do you guys think of Audioslave?
I'm not as knowledgeable in Audioslave as I am with Soundgarden, so I might not have a good opinion on this.
Lily doesn't know who they are, so they must suck.
Mm-mm. I didn't say they sucked. I said I'm just not as knowledgeable.
Beer out of a can,
classy, right there. That's what I drank at Steel City Con. Not Steel City Con, Three Rivers Con.
So what about you, Keith? What do you think about the Audioslavers?
Soundgarden is, you know, to me, the best thing Chris Cornell did. He was, like I said, he's one of my, you know, my favorite modern rock singer. Audioslave was a band that I think that Chris Cornell was working on some solo stuff, and this opportunity arose. Zach De La Rocha leaves Rage. And I did like the first album. I think that it had some good songs on it. Unfortunately, I think it sounded like Rage Against the Machine with a different singer. The guy wasn't rapping the whole time. This Chris can actually sing, where that wasn't Zach's thing. I think that the second album had some more like good songs too, and some polished, you know, very radio-friendly hits. I think, you know, then the third album I'm really not that big of a fan of. But I think songs like Be Yourself and Like a Stone, I Am the Highway, songs like that are very poppy, radio-friendly, and still have that... There's something about Tom Morello's guitar playing that just kind of stands out. He's a guy that, when he plays guitar, you know who it is. It's almost like a Chris Cornell. It's like Tom Morello has a very unique style when he plays guitar.
Yeah. Well, so does Kim Thayil. A quick shout-out to Billy Altman and Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. Guys, thanks for chiming in. Billy Mank, we saw you on here tonight. I really loved Audioslave. I thought this was a band that kind of quite, for my money, as much as I like Show Me How to Live, I think is one of the, like, this is like an amazing rock anthem. But I just think that they quite didn't live, this is the thing with so-called supergroups. Very often they don't quite live up. They're not as super as you want them to be, you know?
Yeah.
I think one of the things that hurt them, and I know maybe I'm in the minority with this, is I thought it's a stupid name. Audioslave, I think, is one of the dumbest names. Let's compare and contrast Velvet Revolver. That is a kick-ass band name, okay? Awesome band name and great band. And I just felt that, like, Audioslave was just like, what? It just sounds like, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Audioslave.
They were all drunk one night.
Yeah, they just couldn't come up with anything good. And they really needed a great name, and I just kind of felt like...
So you don't feel that's a good, strong name?
It's a terrible name. It's an embarrassment. When I heard the name, I'm like, oh, really? it's like you're getting ready to come, you know, and the chick slaps your balls. You're like, fuck! You know,
some people pay extra for that thing.
I know some people do pay extra, and that can be a pleasurable experience. So maybe that's not the best analogy possible, but you get the idea. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things where you're all excited. You go, no, not really. All right.
Hey, did you ever try to think of a band name lately? It's hard, man. Or like a lot of them are taken. You know
Fistful
what I mean?
You and me and Lily sitting around thinking about band names. That's one thing. But these guys are professional freaking rock stars. They got people thinking up stuff for them. Nah. Somebody needed to come up with a better band name than that. That's BS. Every time I think every great band name is taken, I come across some band name and I go like, holy hell, that is so freaking awesome. That happens over and over. You can think of good band names. That's your job.
I have two legendary ones on my list. If I ever start a band, I would name my band one of these two.
What are they?
You want to know it? Free Beer. People would come out of the woodwork for that. Free Beer. So, and then the other one I think would be a little bit more promiscuous. Boner Jam was the other one. So that was two that I came up with that were really good. But the chances of me of actually, you know, starting a band are probably slim to none. So that's, I'll keep those in my back pocket.
Boner Jam.
Now.
If I ever get musically talented, I'm going to call mine Thunder Tits.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Hey, there's the whole story behind that.
You know, there's this a website called This Day in Rock. So let's go over a couple of things here. There's some cool things. They're not cool, but interesting tidbits that
they're cool.
Happened.
Some things are cool.
Today, in 1983, Michael Jackson's album Thriller went back to number one for the third time.
Wow.
I mean, like, only the King of Pop.
I can listen to that all the time, though.
Could pull off, you know, something like that. This day in rock history, back in 2012, Robin Gibb passed away.
Really?
Yes.
Aww.
Yep. Back in this day in 2015, Black Sabbath received a Lifetime Achievement Prize. Black Sabbath received a Lifetime Achievement Prize from Ivor Novello Songwriting Awards. Guitarist Tony Iommi picked up the trophy, confirming the heavy metal band could embark on something
else.
There's dot, 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 which we don't know what that means. Also this day, 2001, lead singer Bono and his wife welcome their Allie, the new baby boy, into their family.
Oh.
So there's some cool things. Frank Sinatra's wife of 22 years and three children left most of his assets when the chairman's wife filed. Barbara Sinatra is bequeathed. So he gave, left all his belongings to Barbara. So she's a rich biatch. Let's see, what else do we have here? 1983, David Bowie went to number one on the U.S. singles charts with Let's Dance. And who's the very famous guitar player on the Let's Dance album, Keith?
Oh, me. Can I answer that?
Yes.
Yeah, I said you.
That is Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yes. Well, very few people realize that Stevie Ray Vaughan is all over that album.
What do I win?
Yeah. Yeah, I love the like this fade out on China Girl. And he's playing those very cool blues things over that, like, you know, dancey
cool,
kind of thing. Yeah,
cool, that's cool and all, but Lou, what do I win? Because I answered the question correctly.
You win a prize?
Yes, you win a prize.
Yes. What is it?
I can't say it on the air. 1980, Joe Strummer of the Clash is arrested. Arrested in Hamburg, Germany, show after smashing his guitar over the head of an unruly audience member. Wait a minute. How unruly do you have to be at a punk show to get...
must be pretty bad. I mean, I don't really know.
I mean, what the heck? That's not right. I'm going to find one that's good for Lily to read here.
Oh, you want me to read something?
Yeah.
Come I on, can't don't... read.
Yes, you do. Oh, goodness.
There's
gracious.
Probably nothing...
Oh no! There's always something. There's something here. Go ahead. Tell them about this one.
1971, UK rock group Free announced that they were splitting up.
I know, bummer, eh? But then Bad Company happened. So,
but then there you go. Yeah, so boom goes the dynamite.
Right. And what about this one?
1973, number one chart toppers pop hit Frankenstein, the Edgar Winter Group. I do enjoy that song.
Yeah. So that's a, like, you know, when you're listening to your local classic rock station, right, you hear that like once a day at least. And there's a whole bunch of other ones here that most of you probably don't give a crap about. Like reggae star Bob Marley is buried with state honors in St. Anne's, Jamaica. On this day. What was that?
We care about that. Bob Marley's a freaking legend, man.
He just thinks other people don't care.
Yeah, I just think, yeah. So. Wow. Scott Weiland. Let's talk about a little Scott Weiland. 2000 on this day, Scott Weiland, lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots and model Mary Forsberg?
Forsberg.
It's not Freiberg from...
Nah.
From Futurama. We're wed in Los Angeles. That'd be great if Scott Weiland married Freiberg. we're wed in Los Angeles. Weiland, who had been released from prison in January and had a court-ordered stint in rehab in April, and Forsberg are married at the Little Door Restaurant.
Aww.
All of Weiland's bandmates are in attendance at the affair, as is Red Hot Chili Peppers frontman Anthony Kiedis.
Wow.
So, you know, some big stuff happening in rock on this day. So, it's a good day for rock and roll. Anyways, guys, so
and there it
so
is.
I want to say, so I'm just going to go around the room, and we're going to say what our favorite Chris Cornell moments are. But before we do that, real quick, I just want to give a shout out to Chris Thunderwolf Dodson and Daniel Douglas, who chimed in with some of their opinions today. Chris Thunderwolf Dodson says, "What about Temple of the Dog?"
We didn't even talk to them yet.
And I think that Chris Cornell sounds great on that. What do you think, Keith?
I think they only did one record, and I think they hopefully, you know, but they would have did more, but I don't think that's going to happen, obviously. But
that would be magical.
That album was a tribute to Andrew Wood, who died too. So I mean, at the time, Pearl Jam wasn't really even, they were just kind of kicking it off, because I think the album came out in 91. Pearl Jam was called Mookie Blaylock, if you believe that or not. Mookie Blaylock was Pearl Jam's name before it was Pearl Jam.
Wait a minute, really? Weren't some of those guys in Mother Love Bone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
was a different singer. And then before it was Pearl Jam, I think it was Mookie Blaylock. So which was probably a better
name.
I'm
glad they changed that name. Yeah. Daniel Douglas, favorite project, Soundgarden. Favorite tracks, 4th of July, Shadow on the Sun, Sunshower, Don't Make Me Choose Just One. Favorite performances, really dig the acoustic version of Prince's Nothing Compares to You.
Oh, I love that song.
I can get with all that. My personal favorite Chris Cornell thing is my favorite album, my favorite band of his is Soundgarden. My favorite album is Bad Motorfinger, and my favorite performance is Outshined. So it's all on the one. I mean, that when he comes in with that scream after the break, I'm like. I still get chills every time I hear that. That's freaking amazing. It's one of the most amazing things in all of rock and roll. Lily V6.
It is.
Oh, me. I have Outshined and I have to go with Black Hole Sun as my favorite songs. I also love the video for Black Hole Sun. It was like really creepy and my type of thing. And the Nothing Compares to You performance is, I'm sorry, it's just fantastic. I love it.
Everybody loves that. It's a band called Scorpion Child. Oh. She sings, I kill. Ludini, Hard Rock, and Metal Circus.
I want.
All right. Wow, that was like, I just love their that sort of like bluesy hard rock
rule
stuff that those guys do.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Beavis and Butthead. That is a band called Scorpion Child. She Sings, I Kill from Acid Roulette. And let's go ahead and give you guys the lowdown on those boys. You can go to scorpionchild.bandcamp.com and you can check out all the stuff. What's, like I said, what's so great about Bandcamp is you go right there and you get the artist stuff, like, boom. It's all right there. There's no screwing around. You can just get it and you can make it happen. And it's
and there it is.
And it's all good. Okay, so what's going on? What we were talking about our sex lives while the song was playing.
It's a freaking music show. What the hell's going on here?
I have nothing to say because there's literally nothing to say about that.
So what do you do, like, when you have sex with somebody, and then, like, they're like, I love you?
Kick them to the curb.
But see, here's the problem with women.
Peace.
You can't just have sex with women.
Because, don't like, even, as soon as you have sex with them, so not true.
As soon as you have sex with them, like, it's automatically a relationship.
Not all women. No. Not all women. Not all women are like that.
Hey, Keith.
Not all women are like that. Yes, okay, maybe a majority of them. I'm not one of them. We're not in a relationship and we have sex the first time and that's it. I'm sorry, it's not happening. Not happening. Stop it. Poor Keith. He's like, no, we're done here.
Hey, forget about it.
It'll just
hey,
make me think of
hey,
Shine
Lily,
Box.
Go home and get Shine Box.
I love it.
We should do that. We need that as merchandise. I'll talk to my friend Carrie, who's been working on my store. We'll have Ludini Rock and Roll Circus Shine Boxes soon.
I really need one. Somebody bought me a cowbell the other day.
More cowbell.
I don't know why they did it, but they did.
We can
never
that.
Have enough cowbell.
We could get.
I've never had a cowbell.
With the,
I was pretty
logo
excited about
it for
that.
Sure.
Yeah,
that would be a good idea. So, if you guys got ideas for merch, like just message us, and you know we can make it happen. I mean, you can like brand anything these days, so it's not really that hard. So, if you want something as merchandise, let me know. We'll turn it into a piece of merchandise, and we'll put it out there, and you guys can just eat that stuff up. You know,
I want a bra, Ludini.
Lou Dini.
Yes, there's
first
plenty
word,
of
Lou.
Room. Plenty of room there.
Keith. What are we going to do with this girl over here, huh?
I don't know, man. That's going to be a tough one.
You love me and you know it.
Who doesn't love the Lilster? We all love
him. I'm kind of just...
Billy Mank just made a comment. What did he say?
I'm a little afraid to even look at this point.
Billy, go to bed.
Hey, no, Billy Mank, not Billy Altman.
All right. That Billy
too.
Okay.
So,
give me one second. I'll pull that up.
So, guys, listen. What I need you guys to do is to share the podcast. Okay, so hit the share button. And because if you love bands like Ragdoll, Aboleth, Scorpion Child, we're gonna close out the show with Diamante. And if you like this music, you believe in it, you like it, it means your friends probably gonna dig it too. So when you share it around, it gets the word out about these great bands. People get some info on them. They get to hear them maybe for the first time, and it's really great promo for them. So please share the podcast when you see it. What do you got there?
Billy Mink said, "Well, that was cleansing. That's all I have." And then I have Lars. I bet there's a guy that wants Lily's Shine Box.
Ah,
thanks, guys. Why is this about me tonight?
That's because out of all of us on the show, Lily has the nicest boobs. My boobs are definitely.
Well,
nice.
I would freaking hope so.
your boobs aren't that nice, are they, Keith?
Nah, not really.
Stop.
All right, we're gonna get out. Keith's got to go play a gig. We're gonna get out of here. Lily, why don't you go ahead and tell them about your show on Rock Rage Radio?
So make sure you check out my show, Hot Licks with Lily Six, Rock Rage Radio, Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either stream it right from the website at rockrageradio.com, or you can download the free app on your smartphone. Rock Rage Radio. It's free.
It's nothing.
Yeah, we don't
have nothing.
I can't with you.
It's dumb. It has nothing. It's dumb.
All right, so you can go to your smartphone and you
go
know,
to the App Store and download it. It's free. And just, there's more than just my show, but my show's the most important.
Of course.
One. That's 6 it. O'clock on Thursdays. That's it.
And we need all of you to bombard Rock Rage Radio and say, why the F isn't the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus on Rock Rage Radio? We need to be there. We want to be there. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's make this stuff happen. Let's get her done. All right, Keith, you got anything you want to announce or say before we get out of here? Any parting shots, parting thoughts? What do you say, buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Just live your life, man. Don't let nobody tell you what's up. And be you, because that's what I do. Thank you.
Was that a public service announcement?
The PSA was brought to you by the Hawk.
And for more information, please send a self-abused stomped antelope to
antelope
Keith Hawkins at 164 Pueblo, Colorado. all right, guys, thanks for hanging out with us. You can go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com, buy some swag. When you buy some swag, it helps us say, yeah, we're being loved, and we're putting out some great music, and it can be cool, and you guys love it. So we love the thumbs up. We love the shares. We love everything you're doing.
We did have 8 shares.
But
we need like 1,000 shares.
Go to the thing and buy the stuff. Go to the thing and the other thing, and then the thing and then get the thing and get some things. You need some things. I smack you in the mouth if you don't.
And there it is.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Keep him here. Keep him here. All right, guys, thank you for listening to Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. We do this every Monday night. It's a lot. Hey, Lars! Lars sang a song for us, or played a song for us, and dedicated it to Lou, Lily, and Knucklehead Keith. So you can check that out.
Thanks, Lars.
If you're not friends with Lars, go through and friend Lars. Lars is a cool guy. He's a lot of fun to hang out with. Hello?
Hello, yes. Lou, are you there?
I'm not here.
Uh-oh.
Can I have a double cheese and sausage?
I've been talking, and nothing's coming up.
Uh-oh.
Talking for hours.
Oh, no.
Oh, there we are. Okay, if you didn't hear any of that, let me do that
one more time.
My mic was unplugged, and I didn't realize it, so I don't know where I came back in or what I did, and there's no way I'm going back and editing this. So, Lars Cothran, thanks for hanging out. Thanks to Billy Mank, Billy Altman, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson, all the people that chimed in tonight. Please go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Buy our swag. When you buy our swag, it just shows that you care. It shows that you support independent music. And please share the podcast around because it gets the word out about bands like Ragdoll, Aboleth, Scorpion Child, and all the great bands we have here. I can't believe. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be a weird podcast at the end there. So my mic was disconnected. So anyways, guys, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for Keith Hawkins. Keith, I know you got to go play a gig. You excited, buddy?
No.
No. All right. Keith's full of energy tonight. So please send Keith some caffeine when you get a chance so we can get him.
Red Bull.
Red Bull. Red Bull his ass up. Oh, guys, it's been a great night. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. And we will catch you guys on the next show. We're going to get out of here with an artist that we discovered a few years ago on the podcast. And this is from her 2015 release. A little EP she put out called Dirty Blonde. Diamante. Guys, there's a party in my pants. And you're all invited.
Aye.
Catch you guys on the next Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
I'm not going to that.